Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Today's program is brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My weekly column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Deadspin.com, and my guest today is Dana Evans.
Hi.
Hi, Dana. Dana is a writer for Gawker.com, who describes herself as a big doofus.
True. It's true.
I wouldn't have described you that way, but I think it's pretty cute. And she told me in advance of this episode that she is obsessed with organizing her calendar.
Yes.
Yes. I was thrilled to hear that because it means that today we're going to be talking about to-do lists and creating a cleaning schedule that works for you. And we will probably dive into a little bit about apps and paper lists and all kinds of good stuff.
That sounds great.
Awesome. And I was particularly excited that you mentioned that you are obsessed with your calendar, because a question that I get asked all the time is a very personal one, which is, Jolie, what is your cleaning schedule?
Right.
And the thing is, with my column, because it's a cleaning advice column, it always feels a little too self-indulgent for me to like get into what my cleaning schedule is.
Sure. Yeah.
And for whatever reason, when my book came out and I was doing a lot of promotion for the book, it was one of the topics that like the publicist who was assigned to me in the book came up with to talk about, but then just never materialized of like me writing like what my weekly cleaning schedule thing is.
Sure, sure.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah,
this is good.
Yeah, we're going to do a deep dive into my own life. But first, I want to hear about your calendar obsession.
Okay.
And I want to hear what kind of calendar you use.
Okay, so this is actually really timely because I just switched over. I mean, it sounds so lame, but it was a huge deal to me. I now use Google Calendar like as an app on my phone instead. Okay. Because previously, I was married to having a Moleskine weekly like book calendar that I carried around with me.
When did you give up the paper?
Maybe all of 2 weeks ago.
Oh my God, this is new.
It's very, I feel very uncomfortable because what I used to do is I every year would buy an 12 to 18 month hardcover Moleskine calendar that was a weekly calendar. And I have a stack of them in my room that it's like, if I want to know what I was doing on like, you know, January 3rd, 2007, I can go back to that date and say like, I wrote it down. That's what I was doing. Or, you know,
do you often find yourself wondering what you're doing?
For a person with a very bad memory, it actually can be kind of helpful because it refreshes that what I was doing on the day.
If you had been part of Serial, the podcast, you would be yes, like, Sarah
exactly.
King's
Listen, like
greatest
I have
resource.
It.
I have it in the diary.
Exactly. But the thing is, it got to this point where it was like, you know, I would leave it at work or I would be like carrying a bunch of shit or changing my bag or whatever it was. And it's heavy. It's a heavy thing to carry around and it becomes cumbersome to just constantly have this because it's a hardcover book that I'm carrying with me.
Okay. I have to fess up to something.
Okay, please.
So I actually last summer went back to the hardcover.
Oh my
book.
God. Okay. So, so this is bad news for me because
I feel like I'm triggering you right now.
Yeah. I feel so 2 weeks ago I changed over to the Google Calendar. And it's been, I mean, it's so nice because it's like everything I need is on my phone. I look at my phone and it's like, okay, like I know where, and it gives me a notification. Mm-hmm. It tells me where I need to be, blah, blah, blah.
There's but no whiteout involved with changing an appointment.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like sometimes, like I still have my calendar on my desk at work and sometimes I just like open it. And I'm like, why is there nothing in here? It's so sad. It's just because it's, I guess maybe it's a visual thing. It's like, it's, yeah. I look at it and I know the week is in front of me and this is what I've written down.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe who knows? Maybe it won't stick. Maybe yeah. I'll go back to it. Why okay. did you go back to
it? So I went back to it, in part because I had switched over from paper grocery lists to using an app, and I use an app called AnyList for my weekly. I go grocery shopping every week. I'm very like regimented about mm-hmm. that. And then, you know, we supplement throughout the week where we need to, but generally I do like one big grocery shopping trip.
Sure.
And I had done the paper list and I was like, okay, this is kind of wasteful. I switched to an app called AnyList that I really like. And part of the reason that I really like AnyList is because it allows you to create lists that you can then share with other people via okay. email. You don't have to share all of your lists, but you can share some of them.
Sure.
So for my husband and I, it's convenient because I can be like, hey, can you do the grocery shopping for me today?
Right.
Here's the list is all ready for you
sure,
on
yeah.
this shared app that we have. Yeah. So that's great. But then I found that I was kind of missing my handwritten yeah. grocery list.
It feels so, there's something so like tactile about it when you are writing something down and you can cross it off.
Exactly.
Right now, when I put something on my calendar, it feels like it's not real, mm-hmm. sort of. Like, mm-hmm. like I'll get notifications that I've, you know, things that I have to do. And it's like, oh, well, I don't have to do that. Like, there's something, I don't know, something about the actual seeing my handwriting that yes. makes me, like, want to do it.
I completely agree with you on that. So after having this experience with the grocery shopping lists, I realized that what I was missing was that handwriting mm-hmm. and the physical crossing off. It's not, you know, tapping a phone to cross something off right. isn't the same.
Right, for sure.
As that check mark and your own pen and, you know, yeah, whole boss. So
exactly.
I started a little bit going back to, I still use the grocery shopping app, but I also still use paper lists. And I thought, well, you know what, maybe this would also be true of my calendar.
Mm.
And 'cause I had that kind of same disconnect between my whatever calendar it is that I use, probably Gmail calendar, I think is what I use.
Sure.
And the fact that I don't even know.
Yeah,
and
I was just gonna say, but
I can tell you that my day planner is a Lilly Pulitzer day planner.
Okay, like that, yeah. See, I know. You know that what brand planner
it is. I know
what it is.
And so I saw this pretty Lilly Pulitzer day planner and I couldn't resist it. And I thought, okay, maybe I'll try it out and see what it's like to go back to this. And if I don't like it, whatever, I'm out. You know, $13 or however much I spent for it.
Yeah.
And it turned out that I loved it, and I loved it for a couple of reasons. I like writing the physically writing the things down.
Right.
I also use it as a little bit of a day-to-day to-do list.
Right. Okay. This is my problem. You're honing in on why I'm so scared about this, because my planner, if you open it, on the left side is the week, and on the right side there's just a notepad space to write to-do lists or to write notes or whatever. And it's like, now I don't know where to write it. Like, I'm just like, oh, yeah. I'm so untethered to the world.
It's like things that you're not necessarily going to schedule.
Right, right.
But that yeah. on a Monday morning, you may wake up and say like, hey, this week I really need, like here, I'm actually going to give you an example from my real life.
Sure.
On Monday, I woke up and I was like, you know what? This week I have really got to wash my floors.
Yeah.
My floors haven't been washed. I know.
I would love to write that on my to-do list.
The things I wake up on Monday fretting over, like, oh my God, my floors are filthy. But no, they were filthy. They needed to be washed. It was just a thing I'd been putting off for a while. And so sure enough, right there in my day, I like open my day planner and I'm like, oh, Monday, Ask a Clean Person is due today, and I have a Racked column due today, yeah. and I'm going to jot in pencil sometime this week, wash the floors, and then I did it yesterday because I got done with all my assignments really early yesterday.
Right.
So that's kind of why I like that paper thing. It also, I love it because it freaks people out that I use a paper day planner.
Right, yeah, I know.
One of our colleagues, James Dell, I was in the office a couple of weeks ago. We were scheduling something and, you know, he whips out his phone and I whip out the Lilly Pulitzer day planner and he was like, Jolie, what
I know.
What is that?
But there's also, I think there's like the feeling of like being on the phone with someone, maybe you're scheduling an appointment or whatever. And it's like, oh, let me just write this down really quick. If literally my memory is so bad that if I'm on the phone with someone and I have to get off, I immediately forget what they've just said. So it's like, if they're telling me like, meet me at this thing at 12 or whatever, I can write it down right then and there.
Yeah. Well, that's it's the other thing. If you're actually on the phone, I mean, I think I'm sort of moving back to using the phone as a telephone.
Yeah.
And when you do that, then you can't be using it as your computer.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, your handheld computer, because you're talking on it.
I wonder if there's some marriage of the two that we could find that's like, I can have my handwritten stuff and also have my phone. Because the problem now is that if I put something on my phone calendar and I haven't written it down, or like, you know, if it's there but then not another place, then you don't know, you're like sort of like scatterbrained, like, where am I supposed to be right now, you know?
Right, exactly.
So you can't really use both. You sort of have to like sacrifice one for the other.
One for the other. And what I find, and this is actually going to be a really, I think, a good lead in to our first question that I'm gonna have Dana read. What I find the phone or the digital calendar, which you could probably call it a digital calendar,
right?
That's
sure,
the right
sure,
word yeah. for it, is very good for recurring events,
right?
Because
absolutely.
You get that reminder.
Yeah,
it's you only have to put it in once and just hit recurring versus, you know, in the paper planner you have to physically write it every week.
Yeah,
if it's
yeah.
a recurring thing. So that actually is going to be a great lead in to our first question, which is about sort of what scheduling, how to schedule your chores,
okay.
essentially.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have you, I'm going to have Dana read our first question.
Okay.
She's going to pretend to be our reader.
All right. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
I'm sure this probably sounds like a super basic housekeeping 101 type question, but I'm in some need of some super basic advice. All right. Easy. And Google really didn't help me much when I searched for housekeeping advice for single adults.
Now, I have to, I'm surprised that the name Julie Care just didn't pop up
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, the first thing, yeah.
Because that's more or less what I specialize in.
My natural state ranges from a bit messy to complete and utter filth. I live alone, so it historically hasn't caused too many problems until I got involved in a serious relationship. I would like to be able to bring my significant other over without feeling embarrassed, so I need to figure this stuff out. I recently hired someone to come clean every other week. The first visit was good. I frantically decluttered for days before he came over to clean, an added bonus of having someone clean on a regular basis, incentive to declutter. And when he was done, things were sparkling. It was amazing. So here's my question. What kinds of cleaning maintenance do I do in between the bi-weekly cleaning visits to keep things clean and comfortable and not make my cleaning dude's job extra hard every 2 weeks? I don't know, besides decluttering and keeping up with the dishes. I've looked at Fly Lady, but her stuff just seems so overkill for my space and situation. Do I really need to scrub my toilet every day? Should I sweep or wash a sink every now and then? And good Lord, what am I going to do when grad school starts up in the fall? My salary gets cut in half. I can only afford my cleaning person to come over once a month. Can you give me a recommendation for the bare minimum I should be doing and how often? That's exactly the kind of question I would ask.
Yeah, I love it. I love that question. And I think it's such a good one. And I like, I mean, you know, I think for people who don't know what Fly Lady is, Fly Lady is a cleaning you know, expert, and kind of like an emotional support expert too, mm-hmm. Who's been around for a long, long time, and she's great. But yes, her advice is very much geared to an audience of primarily women mm-hmm. who are married with families, probably living in the suburbs
right.
or maybe even slightly rural communities. It's not, her advice is really not for the young single
urban.
And that's, which is great because that's where I come in. So I love this question for a couple of reasons. The first is that I think it gets right into the notion of like, what do I do? And mm-hmm. I like the way that she asked it, because it was she got into this thing that I always try to remind people of, is that You only have to do what makes sense for you. I can't prescribe something for all people to do in their homes, because all of our homes are different and all of our messes are different and so on and so forth. So this also, I really love it because it gets into the notion of this, the handwritten list and the sort of the beauty of the handwritten list
sure.
and also using technology. So the first thing I would tell this girl to do is to just take a look around her home after the cleaning lady has been there and make a note of what is super clean.
Yeah.
Literally write it down on a piece of paper. Like, oh my gosh, this bathroom is sparkling. And look, there's no toothpaste spittle on the mirror.
Yeah.
Whatever those things are. And then you're getting a baseline of what clean means to you.
Right.
Right. And sure. like the things that you don't notice maybe are the things you don't care about because you don't even notice them. And then once you have that kind of like, what are the chores that need to get done for this to be a happy home list? You can supplement in the in-between time when your cleaning lady isn't there, or cleaning dude in this case, with that extra, you know, cleaning the mirror. So having a clean mirror is, you know, a thing that makes you feel really good about your home. Then maybe clean the mirror twice a week. And then it goes right into the calendar, which is plug that right into your digital calendar and get an email alert on Sunday that says, hey, clean the mirror.
Yeah, it sounds so facile, but it's like, that is such a good idea.
It makes a huge,
somebody telling you, your phone saying like, please just clean your goddamn mirror, you know?
Right. And then, it also helps for people who aren't in the habit of cleaning. Like for me, I don't really need someone to, I don't know. I don't need my phone to tell me to go clean the mirror.
Right.
I look at the mirror and I'm like, ooh, the mirror must be clean today. But that's how I, you know, that's just how I'm wired. So for people who aren't necessarily wired that way, it's a really good way to adopt a habit. And what you probably will find after like even just a month of getting these reminders on Sunday is that you'll wake up on Sunday and be like, oh, today's mirror cleaning day.
Right.
And you won't even need the reminders anymore, but it's nice to have them.
Yeah. Just to get started into the routine.
Yeah. So, I think this is actually a great place to take a little bit of a break for us. And then when we come back, I am going to talk very specifically about those things that I think she should be doing every day, every week, adjusting for her own personal circumstances. But I want to, before we go into the break, say, no, you don't need to clean the toilet every day.
I mean,
it's funny for me, the extremes at which people come at me with these things. It's like, do I have to clean my toilet once a year or do I have to clean it once a day? And I'm like, how did you miss?
There's somewhere in between.
So we're going to talk about what that somewhere in between is when we come back from a little bit of a break with Dana Evans from Gawker. I'm Jolie Kerr. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
But no one understands there's a war at our hands, keeping minds blank and replies frank while someone else is taking it to the bank.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And today's break music is Big Ups. This is Ask a Clean Person. We'll be right back. Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset print house that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
Hi, welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and my guest today is Gawker's Dana Evans.
Hello.
Who has joined me to talk about to-do lists and cleaning schedules. So we left off talking about how you don't have to clean your toilet every day.
Right.
And also how you should clean it more than once a year also.
Yes.
Which I think probably most people know that.
Yeah. One would think.
Well, obviously not. Obviously not, right? Because this poor girl thinks that she needs to be cleaning her toilet every day, which she does not need to be cleaning her toilet every day. But there are a couple things that you should probably do every day. And I always want to couch things in saying, like, if you don't do this stuff every day, that is okay.
Yeah.
You know, sure. Don't beat yourself up. I'm not judging. This is like, people like these kinds of guidelines.
Right.
So I give them because people like them, but not because I'm some kind of tyrant who's demanding and like, yeah. Or who thinks that you're filthy if you don't do this every single day.
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, like, sometimes in our house, like, yeah, we'll go to bed and leave a couple dishes in the sink. Like, it's
wow,
okay.
Wow, Jolie, really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. No, I'm
well,
kidding. I'm kidding.
We do the dishes after dinner every night.
Yeah.
So we do the full, you know, we don't leave, like, you know, a mound. But, like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, sometimes we have to leave, like, a baking dish soaking overnight.
Right,
in the sink.
Right, sure.
Sometimes, you know, my husband has a glass of bourbon before bedtime, and so the glass goes in the sink, and he doesn't get up and watch. You know,
yeah.
That's okay.
No, like, I'm with you. I'm with you.
But here is kind of I did this for what I consider kind of the four main rooms in the house that create cleaning problems. And here are the things that, if you want a good rule of thumb, the things that you should do every day and the things you should do once a week.
Okay.
And with the extreme caveat that you should adjust this for your own life and schedule. Mm-hmm. And it may be that you don't have to do these things every week. I mean, maybe you just don't use your living room all that often and doesn't need to be vacuumed once a week.
Right.
So,
sure.
You know, this isn't like a hard and fast rule. Okay. So we'll start in the bedroom. So for, I make your bed every day. Every clean person.
It makes you feel so good when you make your bed every day. I don't make it every day, but when I do, I feel great.
Right. And when you do feel better, right?
Yes,
and coming home feels better.
Yeah.
And yeah. So make your bed, you know, I really strongly advocate for people to make their bed every single day.
It's like a Zen thing.
It's a very Zen thing. It's a very Zen thing. And then this is a very, very tricky. It sounds simple, but it's not.
Okay.
Put your clothes away.
God, yeah. I hate doing that. I did not do that today. Because the thing is, it's like sometimes you're running out the door and you want to change your outfit 100 times. And then you're like, do I really have to put this stuff away now?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But Jolie says
I mean, I think put it away now or just put it away in the evening.
Yeah, yeah.
But putting away two things or three things is a 2-minute proposition versus the
50 things you have to put away by the end of the week.
Exactly. Yeah. That then you don't put away that then become 100 things, you know. It's like a lot of this daily stuff is just it's just my way of helping people prevent the sort of snowballing of mess.
Sure.
Yeah. Which is really the name of the game.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So put the clothes away. And I say with putting the clothes away, like, if you can't put the clean stuff away, at least put the dirty stuff in the hamper.
Yeah, yeah.
Dirty so underpants funny. On the floor. Now there is a hard line I'm going to take.
It's so
dirty
funny.
Underpants on the floor is not okay.
No. It's so funny living in New York, too, because everyone's apartment is so small. It's just like, it takes me 5 seconds to put my dirty clothes into my dirty laundry bag, but it's like that 5 seconds sometimes feels like so long.
It's
I don't have that 5 seconds right now.
And it's amazing to me that people feel that way because, like, there's virtually no difference in dropping a sock on the floor versus dropping a sock in
the
hamper.
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
It's the same motion.
I know. Believe me, I'm guilty.
So those are my bedroom basics. And then weekly, change your sheets if you're a weekly. Some people do it every other week, and that's fine, too.
Yeah, I do it every week.
Some people do once a month, which is okay, not great. Any more than once a month, and you're really getting into dirty sheet, like bad dirty sheet territory. I also just really, I love the feel of clean sheets.
Yeah, me too. Who doesn't? It's the best.
Yeah, it's great. Once a week, change the sheets and then, you know, do the dusting, the tidying, whatever, you know, take the 15 minutes to just like tidy things up, right? Mm-hmm. That is like virtually no time and you're going to have a clean bedroom and that's going to feel great. So then in the bathroom, the daily stuff, always hang the towels, right?
Yeah.
So don't leave stuff on the floor, the dirty clothes, the dirty towels, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then this is one that I think surprises people that I recommend wiping the sink down every day.
Oh, see, I wouldn't think, I mean, I wouldn't think to do that, really. Yeah.
But it makes a huge difference in the appearance of the bathroom.
Right.
The sink gets really, you know, it gets filled up with hair and whiskers if you have a man in the house. Toothpaste spittle.
Right.
For women, makeup debris that falls down. So, and I don't mean like any kind of heavy duty cleaning. We just use microfiber sponges. I change out. I have a clean microfiber sponge every day.
Okay.
I just wipe, literally just wipe.
Yeah. It takes, and that's it.
15 seconds.
Yeah.
And that makes a huge difference. So that's one that I always recommend. And then for the weekly cleaning in a bathroom, I do think this is another place where I'll take a little bit of a hard line. I do think the bathroom should be cleaned once a week.
Yeah,
I don't think it needs to be like toothbrushing the grout cleans.
Right.
But I think you got to hit the tub, the sink, and the toilet with cleaner and a sponge. I like scrubbing bubbles.
It just feels so much more sanitary to take a shower when you know you've cleaned it once a week. I'm not to say that I'm like cleaning my I mean, maybe I, you know.
It also, the thing is, if
I can
you
lie
do,
on air.
Go ahead and lie.
I clean my shower once a week.
Okay. or even, you know, once every other week. And this is what I mean by saying, like, just adjust for your life.
Right.
Sure. But the thing is also about regularly cleaning, particularly the shower, is that if you do it every week, it's going to take you maybe 5 minutes tops.
Yeah.
If you don't, it's going to take a lot longer because you're going to have to scrub harder.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, you're splitting the difference between frequency and sort of the how hard the labor is.
Right. Yeah.
Is, I guess, what I say. Mm-hmm. And then do the floors. And then I don't necessarily mean like getting down on the hands and knees and scrubbing the grout on the floors, but just like vacuuming or sweeping up the hair.
Yeah.
Which is another leads me to another very important thing about the bathroom floor is that you need to dry deal with the hair before you mop. If you haven't vacuumed or swept the hair in a dry situation and you just take a mop to it,
that's the nastiest thing.
You're just gonna get
so
wet
gross
hair. Ugh. It's gonna look really, really gross.
So that's
kind of my bathroom prescription. And none of this sounds crazy, right? I mean,
it doesn't. I think, especially like you said, if you put it on a calendar, that's like you get a little alert that says, hey, clean your sink today.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that would annoy me eventually. But, but
well, eventually you wouldn't need it.
Right.
Eventually
exactly.
You would just, you know, like I said, you just wake up on Sunday and be like, oh, it's mirror cleaning day.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving into the kitchen is like super obvious. Wash the dishes.
Yeah.
And, you know, just wipe the countertops down after you've like done any food prep.
Yeah.
And then the once a week, I tell people to, most people take their trash out once a week, sometimes more, sometimes a little bit less. But for the trash, what I tell people to do is to bag up the trash, open the refrigerator, look in it, and make sure there's nothing that needs to be pitched.
Yeah.
And then take the trash down. And then when you're sort of in there to, you know, wipe up any spills as they happen, because then you don't have to do super like major fridge cleaning.
Intensive.
And then the other thing once a week, you know, is just to do a little bit more of a deep cleaning of the surfaces. So again, really easy. This is like not hard.
Mm-hmm.
The living room is the easiest one of them all. So on a daily basis, and this is also, I think, applies to the bedroom, you know, just make sure you're picking up any dishes that you've brought in there, you know, glasses, wine glasses, whatever, bring them into the kitchen. Just straighten things up, you know, straighten up a pile, fluff a cushion.
I like to throw out my New Yorkers like once a week too.
That's discipline.
Not all
it.
Of them. I mean, I also feel guilt because it's like, oh, well, I didn't read this one. So, but
that just the secret of the New Yorker that no one actually reads them?
But it is a really, it makes you feel cleaner when you're like, I don't have a stack of New Yorkers just like sitting and waiting for me. So that's my, that's my ritual.
That's a very good one. That mail clutter is like a whole other topic I have to talk about one of these days. And then on the weekly, you know, kind of similar to the bedroom cleaning, dust and tidy once a week. Dusting is one of those things, like, it's just going to come back.
Right.
So, but you have to do it.
Right.
Especially if you have allergies, you can't just leave it. You're going to be miserable in your own home. It's going to look gross. And then vacuum.
Yeah.
You know, once a week, once every other week. I mean, it really depends on your home. If you have cats, you're going to be vacuuming all the time.
Yeah.
If you don't, maybe you're not vacuuming. It's you know, if you have carpet, you're going to be vacuuming more than if you have hardwood.
Right.
So that's like kind of my general prescriptive thing. And then this, I will very quickly tell you that those things, or the weekly things at least, are the things that I have on my digital calendar that I have just set as recurring. That's like you know, on Tuesday you clean the kitchen, on Wednesday you wash all the whites, on Thursday you do the bathroom, you know.
Yeah.
I adjust it around as I get busier, as my schedule changes, whatever it is. But it's nice to have it.
Yeah.
It's nice to know everything just gets done. I very rarely stress about cleaning my home.
Mm-hmm.
It's also partly true when I say the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday thing. I work from home. So,
right.
You know, when I finish an assignment, I can get up, do 20 minutes of cleaning, and then sit back down to do something else. And it's, for me, it clears my head a little bit to do that.
Yeah.
But I mention that because it is an important part of saying that this is what works for my schedule and my life.
Right.
And not everybody's life is like that. Not everyone has the luxury of working from home and being able to, you know, take a 20-minute break to clean the bathroom.
But even just working from home, it makes you think about this stuff so much more too, because you're like, oh my god, my apartment is disgusting.
Right.
I can't work right now.
Yeah, like, well, the floors, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
The having to do the floors this week was really born out of like every day just looking at the floors and being like, how am I living like this?
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm the clean person. I gotta watch those floors.
Yeah.
So we are about to wrap up. I do want to read, we had a second reader question that I'm not going to get to. It was very similar to the first one.
Mm-hmm.
A woman who is about to add a second child to her family and was a little bit feeling a little panicked about her cleaning schedule and sort of, you know, what to do when. I would ease up on that schedule for her because two babies is like a whole lot. And
yeah,
you don't need to be, you know, that crazy about cleaning. But I did want to share a tip that she sent that I thought was so clever and I think speaks really to this idea of reminding yourself, using something as a reminder to do something else.
Yeah.
So she had read my book, and there's a portion in the book that talks about how to clear drains using various methods.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the methods is to use baking soda and vinegar to clear a drain.
Oh, now, interesting. Okay.
That's really best used for a slow moving drain. It's probably not going to really touch a major clog. And I recommended it for not only for slow moving drains, but also to keep drains clear for people who tend to have backups because they have a lot of hair. Like, I'm one of those people. I have a lot of hair. And I sort of made a joke in the book about the hardest part of it is just remembering to do it. So Reader Treasure writes to me, I also wanted to drop a tip on something you mentioned in your awesome book.
Awesome book. I love it.
You're waxing eloquent on the merits of vinegar and baking soda for drain maintenance, which is one of my favorite things to do as well. And there are other people like me out in the world, by the way. And mention that it is hard to remember to do it frequently. I have a plan for that. I use those Arm & Hammer fridge and freezer baking soda containers, which you are supposed to change once a month. I admit I change them every other, but whatever. Yeah, I agree, whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's a marketing scam. Good for Arm & Hammer for getting us to believe that one. Anyway, when I change them out, I rip open the tops of the boxes, grab my vinegar, and hit the drains. It helps me to remember to do it, and it's a nice little money saver. I've had no problems with funky smells from the quote-unquote used baking soda, though I suppose if you have a frat boy fridge, that might be a bad idea.
Yeah.
So anyway, I loved that.
That's great. That's really
I thought
smart.
That was a great tip. That's in the along the lines of what we've been talking about today, which is, you know, really using your calendar as a reminder for these chores that then become just such a habit that you incorporate them into your life. And hopefully, Dana, you will incorporate a few of these habits into your life, whether you go back to your paper planner.
Who knows?
Or you stick with the digital. I hope that you will come back one of these days to tell us how things shook out with
your
calendaring.
We'll see. Yeah. I feel like one day I'm going to have an incident where I miss some big event because I've like screwed up both of my calendars at once. So I'll let you know when that happens.
Okay. Well, I hope that doesn't happen, but I do hope that you come back. Dana Evans, thank you so very much for being
here.
Yeah,
thank you for having me.
Dana is a staff writer at Gawker.com, and I am Jolie Kerr, the woman behind Ask a Clean Person on Deadspin.com. This has been Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.